is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Larry Horstein in for Chris Carlin until 8 o'clock. Of course, at that time, we'll turn our attention to baseball. Because we are the home of the League Championship Series and World Series. We are 98.7 ESPN, and of course, we'll have Game 4 of the NLCS with L.A. and Atlanta. Ready to talk to you, though. 1-800-919-3776. So let me say this. Thank you, Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. Always fun and entertaining. Great show. And while I was listening to them, it gave me some time to reflect. And I've had a chance to cover the Jets in, I guess, two phases. I've covered them before I became a member of ESPN, and I covered them as a member of ESPN. Did sidelines for them for a number of years. And believe me, I have seen some really, really sad times with the Jets. On the field and off the field. And if somebody says butt fumble, I'm going to scream. But anyway, right now, as I look at this team, and it hurts me to say this because there are so many contacts that I've met working with the Jets over the years who are still there working diligently, head down, trying to get the job done, doing what they're supposed to do. And there are a lot of good people that I know who have left. But right now is probably, and I'm talking about, you know, the back page of one of the local newspapers in this town with Rex Ryan and players fumbling out of a clown car. I'm talking about having the unfortunate situation of having like a bunch of quarterbacks injured in one season when Herm Edwards was there. You talk about the missed field goal in Pittsburgh when Herm Edwards was there. You talk about the bad first half in Pittsburgh in the, you know, the league championship game. When Rex was there, there's just so many things, disappointments, so many issues, so many things off the field, so many things on the field that have taken place with that Jet organization. But this is about as bad a situation as this franchise has been in. You are looking at a situation where perhaps two of your most talented players you're going to face in opposite uniforms in the same season. You're going to face Jamal Adams against Seattle. And, of course, as our crew of ESPN, Adam Tetcher, Adam Schefter, Jeremy Fowler, all reporting that Le'Veon Bell is going to sign with Kansas City. Now, there at Kansas City with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, those are people that know how to run an offense. Those are folks who know how to be creative with an offense. And the proof is in the pudding. And they've got a Super Bowl ring to prove it. And they've been successful with different quarterbacks, but they still have a track record of being successful offensively. What's going on with the Jets right now is unbelievable. You've got a head coach who has decided that either you fit his system, his way, or you're done. We have waited 2 years to see how he would work with, how he would deal with Le'Veon Bell. Did we think that Le'Veon Bell was not going to be the same Le'Veon Bell after having a season off from leaving Pittsburgh, taking a year off for a contract dispute and coming back? Yeah, we kind of figured there would be some growing pains. We kind of figured that he would maybe need to get a little bit going. He needed some time to get back, the rust to get off. And he was not given the opportunity to show what we knew he could do. Was he in the best of shape? Maybe not. Is that on him? Absolutely. But then we were promised, Jet fans were promised, hey, this year we'll give him his situation. This year we'll give him his opportunity. We'll give him an opportunity to show what he can do. They didn't do that. He got hurt, comes back. And for some reason, even though I thought he ran the football well, especially in the first half last week, did you line him up what he can do, his versatility? No. Watch. When he goes to Kansas City, watch how Andy Reid uses him. Watch how he's viewed. Watch how he's used there. It's a situation where management reacted too quickly. And listen, Adam Gase has an unbelievable presentation. It caused him to gain control of a franchise despite leaving another franchise by being fired. Not that he was fired, not like a Mike McCarthy situation where he had some success, he has a Super Bowl championship, and maybe he's been in that place too long, and sometimes, you know what happens? Players tune out the coach because you've been there a while. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've watched it. But that was not the situation with Adam Gase. Adam Gase was coming from a situation where players were complaining and he was fired. And for me, as I told you there, and this is not a second guess, this is a return of a first guess. As I told you, if I'm looking for a new coach to come in, and I'm looking for a guy who's, I'm not looking for a first-time situation. I'm not like the Giants looking at Joe Judge and saying, okay, we want to give this guy who's never been a head coach, we want to give him an opportunity. That's not what this was. The Jets were looking for somebody who had experience. And for me, if you're looking for somebody that's got experience, show me somebody that's won something or was in a situation where they were close to winning something and maybe an injury or something else happened that caused them not to get that done. That was not the case with Adam Gase. And so not only did they give him the opportunity to coach this team, but they gave him power also. So now you're even wondering whether he's going to be able to go, whether you fire him or Joe Douglas. Is Joe Douglas, who's got a longer contract, is he going to be able to let Gase go? You wonder, because of all the power you gave this guy. He didn't warrant that. He didn't. What had he done in Miami that you would give him the keys to the kingdom, the entire kingdom? That's what they did. And while I hear people criticize Jet ownership, and you're right to do that, you have your opinions, but I hear people criticize Jet ownership about, well, you know, they went to this group and, you know, they had these people that were telling them who the hire coach is, and they got, well, listen, if you're not sure who to look for, if you're not sure that what would be a good person, if you need help from people who are more experienced than you, I have no problem with that. Didn't mean you have to listen to them, okay? But for you to gather more information, I have no problem with that. I really wish they had done that in this case. Because what has happened here is just, it's unbelievable that you're looking at a team that has been competitive this season in their five games for one half. And that was the first half last week. They've been competitive for one half. And now we're hearing more players could be gone. Rumors are swirling. Can't confirm them, so I'm not going to name them. Rumors are swirling. Why would you make any moves player-wise unless you're telling me that this coach is staying? And this is the season you want to evaluate what happens with your quarterback, because you're coming up on that fifth year. And you want to decide, does he get the big money or does he not get the big money? What are we going to do? It's unbelievable. This is, I'll say it again, this is as bad of a situation that I've seen with this Jet franchise in a long time. A long time. Sometimes you can overcome it on the field where you put folks together and you just say, you know what? Let's we're doing this for us. Okay? We're doing this for us. But I've not seen it like this. I mean, we've got Jet stories that we could talk about forever. Quarterbacks sleeping, missing practice. Quarterbacks getting punched for not paying money back. I mean, you can fill in the blank. Of all those, right now, right this second, this is as bad as it's been. And I don't know where it's going. That's the scary. Larry Horstein for Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Thanks for stopping by. I've been talking a lot about the Jets because I had to get that off my chest. I've been listening and watching and doing some things, and it's just crazy. It's just crazy. But I welcome you to also talk about the Yankees because, you know, the question for me is, what are they going to do? And I think, and we'll get to the calls in a second, I think Mark Teixeira on the K-Show made some interesting thoughts about, which is something that a number of callers have said to me for the past couple of years, about how heavy right-handed this Yankee lineup is, that they should have some more balance. Because when you look in the long run, I don't know what sabermetrics say about it, but in the long run, common sense tells you that you bring in a right-hander, you can get like two-thirds of the lineup out. Just one or two right-handers. You don't have to switch. You don't have to bring in the situational lefty. So what are some of the adjustments the Yankees are going to have to make going forward? It's interesting. We'll talk about that too. Remember, we only have to lay the clock, so let's get to you on the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Jose's in Patterson. Jose, you're batting leadoff on Carlin. What's up, my friend?
Aha. So now I'm doing good like my Braves if I'm batting leadoff.
You set the tone, Jose.
That's right. You see my Braves. I'll take that loss yesterday because tonight is where we really got to pull through. I don't mind that loss. I knew we were going to lose a game to them, so I don't mind, or two games to them. I said probably seven, Braves and seven. So tonight we got to win. Tonight's must win because then their back is really against the wall.
So the fact that they just lit up the bullpen and the pitching staff with 14, 15 runs, you're still good.
Yeah, I'm good because that wasn't our go-to guys.
Okay, all right.
You know, that was like, all right, they had the momentum going from the night before with all them runs, so I knew that was going to happen. I said, this is L.A. They don't play. Once those bats get hot, they hot. So let them score all those runs, and hopefully the bats calm down tonight. We come in, and we get the job done. But that's just one of my points. The real reason I called was to say that this situation, because I'm a diehard Jets fan, this is the worst, Larry. I've been a fan since I was a kid. I'm 42. I sat through 1-15. I sat through hard times. But this guy, this cancer that is the crazy eye killer, that is Adam Gase, is the worst thing to happen to this organization ever. I'm sorry. I have never seen a coach become a cancer to his team and tear it all down the way he's doing for a vision of what you have. Like you said before, there's no merit. You have no vision. You're on the coattails of a Hall of Fame quarterback that made you look good. You didn't make him look good.
Right.
So this is ridiculous. Ownership, you want to do us a favor as the fans, if you're listening, get rid of this guy. Let Big Joe take full control. Let him go or give the keys to the city to Eric Bieniemy to get him down here. Draft this kid, Trevor, because you done ruined Sam already. You messed up his whatever moxie was in there, and go a whole new route and start over. Because if this guy, I'm not watching the games, and if he's still here next year, I'm not watching the games. The fans have to turn the channel off and say, no, we can't support this.
It's interesting, Jose. Thanks for the phone call. Good luck with Atlanta. It's interesting to see what happens because, I mean, look at two coaches have already been let go this season. One of them was in the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, and still coaching. So, listen, it's not usually the Jets' way to let a coach go in the middle of the season. They're usually consistent. They like to say, we wait for the full season, evaluate what happened, and then we move on from there. But I just got to tell you, I don't see how it ends well. I just don't. Spike is in Jersey. Hey, Spike, you're next on Carlin.
Good evening, and glad you're on tonight. I'll take your short shift. That's the way they call it. And, just want to let you know that this COVID thing again. I hate to keep doing
this. Scary, Spike. It's getting scary in the NFL. It is.
I told Michael today that we had some fun, try to have some fun and laugh, and he had someone on that called, and they were doing their little bit. And I said to him, you mentioned that they, you know, he uses these three words, you know, sweat, spit, snot, and, you know, get next to each other on the line. Sounds a little gross, but you've been around football. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how long? I talked to you about this at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
How long are they going to last once they start traveling? And Michael made a great point, and the boys agreed with him. Money, money, money.
Yeah,
gonna,
of course.
They're going to push to it. Larry, am I right on this estimate? And I'll let you go. And always, thanks for letting me know you're on. I said about 300 total employees compromise a football team. The whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, I would say so. Sure.
About I'm close, right? Give or take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and then you have office personnel. And so, but at the beginning of training camp, well, how many was it? 100, 110 people show up, players?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and then they cut to 90 or something. So and then you got guys on the taxi. They used to call it the taxi squad, practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the math, Larry, you got that times, you got 3,500 people, players.
That's right.
It got something. Got, I don't know. And they can't keep postponing the changing game. They're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's gotten. But on a positive note, it's good to hear you. And you on tomorrow?
No, sir. I'll be back probably Sunday.
Sunday after the
Jets. We're waiting to see.
The,
waiting to see. Yeah, perhaps. It depends on what the, you know, we got baseball now. You know, our schedule is tied to the league championship series.
Yeah, all right, well, that's okay. That's okay.
Yep,
well, last, one more real quick. Sorry
yes.
to take the time.
Mm-hmm.
Your best guess, January or February for hoops?
February, maybe closer to March.
Only because
I know how badly they want to try to have some fans in the stands. And as you look at the numbers elevating, Spike, and thanks for the phone call, look at the numbers elevating with COVID for that second wave. I don't see that you're going to have fans in the stands in the winter.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Stay safe and wear your mask.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 1-800-919-3776. Iris in Staten Island. Hey, Ira, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry. That was quite a rant. I hate to be like this. It's really upsetting and sad, but it is rock bottom. And, you know, they really just need to let Douglas do what he needs to do and change the structure of the organization, and the owners just need, of course, they have to sign off on stuff, but mm-hmm. they need Douglas to run the organization. The coach report to Douglas, and it's amazing. You know, you look at this roster, and except for, you know, maybe three or four players, most of these players wouldn't sniff a starting job on another NFL team.
I know.
I'm telling you, I really do believe once things started going bad, I think Douglas, I really think he's just looking to get that number one pick. I really do believe that, because otherwise you'd have major concerns, because you can't tell me that he really believes that this is going to be a competitive roster, especially on defense or what they have. It's just
– No.
It's unbelievable. I mean, 9.5-point dogs going into Miami. Are you serious?
I know. And you know what, Ira? You can see that easy. The number is staggering, but you can see that easy because this team has no offensive weapons. They don't score. They don't score.
Nope. The only, unless Fitzpatrick, you know, makes a couple of mistakes, which he's capable of doing, it's not going to mm-hmm. happen. To me, it's a bad matchup on paper. And, you know, you look at the year, and, man, you know, besides the Dolphin games and, you know, I can't even throw in a Charger game.
No.
On paper, who are they going to beat? I mean,
I don't see.
I know it's really hard to go 1-16.
Yes,
but
yes.
there's a good shot that this can happen.
It is, Ira, and it's really sad because, and look, here's the thing. I know they don't have a whole lot of talent, but the thing that really bothers you is they're not even competitive, Ira. There's been teams that haven't had a whole lot of talent, Ira. That team the year Bowles left. That team was supposed to go 1-16, Ira. That team got 5 wins. That team got 5 wins.
100%. And you know what? Sam played better for Todd than he did, for Gase. And let me wait till we play the Chiefs. Wait till Andy Reid, if Gase is still coaching, wait till Andy Reid sticks it to Gase when Bell goes out there and gets over 100 yards running, gets about 75 yards catching and a couple of touchdowns, and he'll show the Jets how they should have used him. Well, it's coming.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question about it, Ira. There's no question because it's that is a guy who knows offenses because he understands that you adapt and you adjust, Ira. Thanks for the phone call, my friend. Good hearing from you. He understands that you adjust to your personnel. I always give this example. And it's about a guy who most New York fans, even though it's a different sport, did not like. But when he came here, he is probably the last guy that we really associate with extended winning.
Our issues on offense are bigger than play calling right now. It comes down to execution. It comes down to making sure that your guys in the right spots. Like whoever calls the play is not converting the third and one. It's not converting the fourth and one last week in the game. And those are things that come down to details. It's detail of the coaches putting those guys in the right spots and making sure they're seeing the right looks. The players execute the fundamentals. It's the coaches making sure that an individual, the time you have, you make the most of it, and those guys are prepared to execute. And very little of it is play calling. And if there was ever a problem with that, the staff would have no problem telling whoever that, the boss, Coach Gase, that that's an issue. That's not the issue. We have a lot more issues on that that we're working through right now to continue to improve on.
Darrell Loggins, talking about the situation with play calling. Maybe there should be a change in play calling from Adam Gase. And listen, I would give him credit. By the way, Hardesty Steve for Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. I'll give him credit. He's right. The issues are bigger than play calling. But play calling is not helping you. It's not. There's got to be from a creative mix of things. And he talked about the long situations, the plays where you have a third down and long. You know why you have that situation? Because the earlier plays, you're not getting it done. You're supposed to be in second and third and manageable. And yeah, there's some discipline problems. And yeah, the players make mistakes. Yeah, I got it. But there's no confidence in this play calling. And then what makes it worse is your defense, which is struggling, you put them right back on the field. And so the offenses get more of a chance to pick on your defense because your defense is sitting there on the field. Adam Gase keeping the play calling responsibilities. You know our new morning show, right? With Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Well, Damian Woody was on there and had this to say about Gase keeping those play calling deals.
I thought his answer was a joke. He was like, oh, let me ask my staff and, if I should give up the play calling duties. I mean, you are their boss. What are they going to say? Yeah, boss, let me go ahead and snatch some play calling duties from you real quick. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, listen, when you're the Jets and you're the supposed offensive genius and your offense is basically last in the league in almost every statistical category, don't you think that it's time? Maybe let me pass it along to somebody else. Let's see if they can provide a spark or something to give this offense some juice. So the fact that, Adam Gase decided that he's going to retain play calling duties just showed me he's kind of, he's like an egomaniac or something. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Damian Woody. I hear what you say, D. I do. Here's the example. I get to the calls a minute ago. A bunch of folks want to get to. Pat Riley, when he came from L.A., obviously Showtime Lakers. Oh, Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Byron Scott, Norm Nixon. Great, great, great. Okay? Comes to the Knicks. That's not Showtime Knicks. Xavier McDaniel, the late Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, Mark Jackson, Patrick Ewing. Okay? What he did was he adjusted to the team that he had to make them successful. I mean, what was Pat the Rat? We didn't like Pat Riley. Yeah. And we hate him now because he left. But that's the point I'm making. He made the adjustments to the talent he had because he realized that he couldn't play that same game that he played in L.A. here. That's what makes coaches great. Those are the successful coaches because they find a way to not compromise their philosophy and their style and what they believe works, but they adjust it and bend it and fit it and mold it to the players that they have on the field or the court. That's what they do on the ice. That's how you win. Back to the phones. Buddha's in the Bronx. Hey, Buddha, you're next on Carlin.
Hey, Uncle Larry. How you doing, big bro?
What's up, Buddha?
Hey, listen. First of all, what Spike was talking about, Spike brought up 2 points. One point was a couple of weeks ago, and I think he was talking to Carlin, and they blew him off about these COVID tests and whether they're telling the truth. I don't buy that for a second. They're not telling the truth. They want to make money, just like Michael Kay and them were talking about today. But it doesn't help when you got Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels on air 2 Sundays ago complaining about wearing a mask. Like you idiot, man. Like, what are you doing? But anyway, now to these, I don't even want to call them a team, but the Jets, you know, you ask where they're going, they're going to Hades in a handbasket. You know, they've been relegated to a punchline. You know, Elle Duncan, with her extremely fine self, is on there cracking jokes about them on Around the Horn. Mm-hmm. You know, and Michael Kay, you know, I love their show because they do call it down the line, you know, not taking it sides because we know somebody or whatever. And they were mad with Joe Douglas yesterday, and they used all my material on him. Sam Darnold with the offensive line, promising the family, everything. The Robbie Anderson, all of it. Listen here, man. And this confidence that everybody keeps talking about with Joe Douglas is really irritating to me. Because he's done a bad job here. You have to admit that he's done a bad job here this year. And if he was doing a bad job in order to get the number one pick, to have the worst record, what he's really done is just perpetuated the culture of losing. So now you got players that have been here for 3-4 years. They're used to losing. They're used to mumbling stuff about the coach in the locker room. You know, Adam Gase is irrelevant. He's like, what do you call it? Remember Pink Floyd? He's just another brick in the wall. He's just another brick in the wall. All of this stuff comes from the top. Ham hands Chris Johnson with his 16-37 record since taking over this team. It is an absolute joke, and it's disgusting. And as a fan, we don't have any other recourse but to not support the product. If they really want to do the right thing, the NFL will step in and say, you need some help here. And as much as Joe Douglas, everybody likes him, you got to remember, in the other spots, he was just a player personnel guy. Or he was, he's worked in the front office. He worked under Ozzie Newsome. He didn't do that stuff there in Baltimore and even in Philly. I will offer Ozzie Newsome $7 to $8 million to be the president of football so he can still school and tutor his student who needs to go back to class. Because what they did, at first, I was really pissed off. You know, I was getting mad with Sam Darnold for a couple of years. You know, he didn't play a full season. You know, he had that California cool. You know, I never seen him upset. That irritated me to a certain extent, too. But realistically, what they did to him this year was criminal. What they did to him this year was criminal. Not only did you lower his trade value or keeping value because the fans have totally turned on him, but what you also did was you put a ragtag offensive line in front of him again, even with Becton, and look what happened. He's hurt. Yeah. This is disgusting. This is New York City. Yo, it infuriates me. I want to go down there and, like, shit one of them. It really, really makes you angry. But you know what? Like I said, all I could do, I haven't watched a game in 2 weeks. I'm not watching a game. They need to know that we're not going to tolerate this. This is absolute, and I don't want to use the word. Have a good night, my brother.
All right, Buddha. Thanks for checking in. 1-800-919-3776. Claudio's in Queens. Hey, Claudio, you're next on Carlin.
Hey, Larry, how are you doing? It's Claudio from Gotham City Crew. We go back to...
Hey, Claudio, what's up, my friend?
A few years off here. Disgusted, hurt with this Bell situation. Number one, as a Michigan State alumni, I was ecstatic when we signed Bell. And then just the news this week, absolutely broken because the emotional excitement from before to now just loss of words and hurt from it, and just internal anger towards Gase, because you look at his coaching record. I'm embarrassed that he is a fellow Michigan State Spartan. And you look at what he did coaching-wise, and then what he destroyed in Miami, to what the players are doing now, to seeing it live through the team that I love and love is blind. And I don't know how it's going to get fixed. It starts at the top. It starts from the way the coach, the way the general manager, the way the hierarchy is set up. It needs to be changed. I know the NFL is not going to step in because there's nothing borderline crazy that would cause a sell or would cause changes. But from the fan perspective, we're disgusted, we're hurt. And you look at when the uniforms dropped, how many players are left? It's Darnold.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. It's just we're running the Gotham City Crew, the supporter club, and it's hard. It's getting hard to be positive.
There's no question about it, Claudio. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for checking in. In regards to the Gotham City Crew, all you guys out there, it's hard. How can you as a fan, you want to see something that you can build, something that you can sink your teeth into, something that you can say, okay, it's all right. I can see a light there. Okay, maybe all we need is a couple more pieces. Okay, I see what they're trying to do. I can see a pattern. I can see, you can't see anything right now. The only thing you can see right now is frustration. That's all you can see. Larry Horsey for Chris Garland here on 98.7 ESPN. LA, Atlanta, game 4, top of the hour here on 98.7. Let's back to the phones, getting your thoughts on the Jets, a little baseball as well. Artie is in Brooklyn. Hey, Artie, you're next on Garland.
Hey, Larry, what's going on, bud?
What's up, Artie?
You know, I love my man Ira, and you know what? You know, it's gotten so bad that even him is trashing like how the Jets are, and I don't blame him. But the thing is, he's got to keep in mind, the last time...
You there, Artie? I didn't hear you. What'd you say? You dropped out. The last time what?
The last time the Jets played the Chiefs, it was with Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, they got spanked all over the place.
Yep.
So it's not Gase, and it's not Bell that's going to, like, or come over here and kill the Jets. It's basically the Chiefs are a lot better than the Jets. And I understand. Listen, 0-16, I don't know if Douglas put a team out there to purposely be 0-16 and try to get a number one pick. I don't know. But I know rebuilding, that's what you got to go through. And I'm sorry. I'm the guy that gave Mickey, the Met manager, an extra chance. I didn't think that the giant coach, Ben McAdoo, deserved to get fired. And I'm saying the same thing with Gase, okay? I think he did a good job last year. They lost C.J. Mosley. They lost Anuwa. They lost Darnold. And they lost their backup quarterback. And they won 7 games. And they didn't give up on the team, okay? And then this year, fine. They're getting spanked all over the place. But you know what, though? Just look at the team. And you tell me that Flacco, even though he doesn't have his mobility, Flacco knew where to go with the ball. Darnold needs a lot of training, and next year, if Darnold's still on the team, if they don't get Trevor, you're telling me that it's best that they go out and get another coach so Darnold can go to another offensive system? I don't think so. Gase doesn't get credit for Tannehill. Instead, they go the other way. They say, look what he's doing with Tennessee. But I'm sorry. He had 3 years of development with Gase, and he became the quarterback that he is because of Gase, not despite him. Okay?
All right, so, Artie, I hear what you're saying. Hold on, Artie. I hear what you're saying, but what have you noticed a change in Darnold since Gase has been here? He's going in the reverse direction, Artie.
No, he is not yet. Look at the numbers, and you'll see, okay? You'll see that, yeah, it's a slight advantage, and here's what I'm asking you, Larry,
mm-hmm.
Okay? The Jets are going to be 0-8, and Darnold's going to come, and they're going to have their full squad. Mitch is going to come back. Their cornerbacks are depleted. They can't match up with anybody. They have Austin, and they got a couple of guys. Let's see what happens. If they go 4-4, if they go 3-5,
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, my friend. If the Jets get three wins this year, you call me and we'll talk about it. Thanks for the phone call. You call me and we'll talk about it if they get three wins this year. The way they're playing right now, I don't see three wins. I don't see. I'm trying to get one. I'm trying to find one. Trey's in Brooklyn, Texas. He's next on 98.7. Hey, T.
What's up, Larry?
How you doing, man?
Oh, man, trying to get out of here, man. Listening to Artie with that passion, man. That's, we need him on the field on Sundays.
Yeah,
man.
Really?
We got a damn win. You know what I mean? This team is going where it's supposed to go, Larry, down the toilet. So hopefully that we can do the right thing and hire Eric Bieniemy, which I know we're not going to do. Houston's going to hire him. And then we're going to look like asses again. This is ridiculous. It's franchise malpractice, and it's been going on far before Adam Gase got here. All Adam Gase did was exacerbate the problem by not being able to get Sam Darnold where we want him. Mm-hmm. Because on draft night, what did we all say on draft night? We all said, oh, my God, we have our quarterback for the next 10 to 12 years, Larry. That's what we all said, Larry. All of us. Buddle said it. You said it. I said it. We all said it. And we all got, I don't want to say we all got jerked, Larry, but we got jerked through this kid's non-development. Now, that has a lot to do with Sam as well. I'm not going to put it all on Adam Gase. He has to get out there and produce. Being that he didn't produce when he was supposed to, this is the result, Larry. This is all has to do with development, Larry. Yep. We're not good in the scouting department. We're not good in getting players around quarterbacks so they can be better. You know what our contribution is to Sam Darnold, Larry? Jamison Crowder.
Yeah.
That's all we got. For three seasons, that's all we got. Mono and Jamison Crowder. That's all we got.
Jamison Crowder and a speedy receiver that you had in Robbie Anderson that you said bye to.
That you said bye to, Larry. Franchise malpractice, Larry. That's all this is. This is an easy fix. Get Eric Bieniemy in here if you want to keep that kid and try to develop him. If not, then draft the kid from Clemson, man. Either way, I think that kid from Clemson is going to end up in New York either way as a Jet or a Giant. This is Larry, I can't call it what it is. It's a blank show. You know what this is, Larry.
This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous, Larry. And it ain't going to get no better no time soon. But I'm going to finish cleaning my kitchen, man. Shout out to the Gotham City crew, too. Shout out to my man Claudio, man. Keep it going, man. We ain't going nowhere. But we just got to break this thing down and get it fixed, Larry. It's bad. It's always good talking to you, my friend.
All right, my friend. Good talking to you. Chris is in Manhattan. Hey, Chris, you're next on 98.7.
Good evening, Larry. How's everything?
I'm doing good, Chris. What's going on, my friend?
Well, first and foremost, I'm just going to keep this short. Gase is terrible. and let's not act like we didn't interview Matt Rhule, or Mike McCarthy. For what reason we didn't hire them, I have no idea. Yeah. Okay. Now, again, it's not like we all got to walk there slow because this is the second time. This is a rerun, man.
Yeah,
we didn't see this show in Miami.
Yeah,
and then tell me what happened at the end of that show with the young quarterback that I guess was nurtured by Adam Gase.
He's great in Tennessee right now.
He didn't end up getting a contract, and he's playing with a new team. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
Now earlier you said something about you were hearing some other whispers about some other people. I'm looking at some things on social media that I can't even believe right now. They're throwing people's names out there. And you're good. Wait. Do not tell me that you're letting go of more players and you're keeping this coach.
It wouldn't seem right.
I understand, you know, that who are you going to transition to? I get all of that. But this is ridiculous, man. And again, this again is going to start with ownership. I mean, because you are the people who hired him.
Yep.
You know, I did say something about, you know, I'd like to get the Johnson brothers on Shark Tank. I'm not sure if they presented the New York Jets. I would love to see Mark Cuban evaluate, you know, their job over the last 10 years. Wow. I mean, especially as another franchise owner.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Y'all going to sit up here and reference, you know, a record-breaking offense, you know, that this man guided in Denver. Okay, that's nice. What was his title? Oh, it wasn't head coach. You weren't the leader of a full 53. And you already basically had a Hall of Fame. You had a walking Hall of Famer who, guess what? Omaha, I can check out of any play that I want. Wait a minute. I don't think Sam Darnold has that freedom.
No, kinda apparently like, not.
Isn't that kind of like running a race with with your feet shackled? Oh, I got to go through this play. Uh-oh, I got a free guy coming off my left, but I can't check out of this to a run, especially to, that's right, number 26 ain't here anymore.
Things got to change, Chris. I got to run, man. Thanks for the phone call. Andrew's in Pearl River. Hey, Andrew, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, Andrew. What's up?
All right, so you ever watch the Falcons?
Yes.
All right, Falcons can lose big. I'll keep watching them. I want to see Julio Jones play. Same way I want to see Randy Moss play. I want to see CeeDee Lamb play. Ruggs on the Raiders. There are a lot of good, great wide receiver talents out there that I'm just going to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw Matthew Stafford. I saw Matthew Stafford out in the with Megatron.
Right.
You know, I'm going to watch.
Yep.
It could win. Like, anybody can win. But, like, you know, when I look at the Jets, it's like, all right, like, Le'Veon Bell, I think he's pretty good. I know he's gone and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they've always been this revolving door of just shipping off their first-round defensive players to pretty much the NFC South.
Yeah.
It's where they just Jonathan Vilma left. We had a defensive player of the year, rookie of the year. He's gone.
Yeah, you know what, Andrew, and you're right. Thanks for the phone call. The issue is you really need a guy who can take a top off an offense and take a top off a defense rather, and you don't have that. You just don't. Rich in Southern California, you got 10 seconds. Go.
What's up, Larry?
How you doing? Real quick.
I just wanted to call about the Yankees. I just think that it's gone way too snobby up there. It's these nerds in suits, and it's no attitude. There's no heart. There's no fire anymore, and something's got to change, and I don't like any of the answers I'm getting from Cashman, and I think he's a great GM, but I think they've gotten way too...
Sabermetrics, huh? You're not happy with them sabermetrics, huh, Rich? Thanks for the phone call. I hear you. Get in line. There's a whole bunch of folks who aren't happy with that either. Thanks for the call. That's it for this edition of Carlin. Hardesty for Carlin. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Jake.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.